Ladies and gentlemen, today I'm going to be sharing with you three things that you can do to start improving your relationships today. This is relationships with intimate partners, could be family members or friends. Let's crack straight into it. The first thing that I'm going to recommend that you do is that you practice being present with the person. There is a dearth, a lack of attention and time at the moment. We live in extremely high tempo lives. There's an awful lot going on. Everybody's, their heads are in social media and what's going on in the news, what's going on that's being conveyed to them through the technology. So really offering somebody that time and that attention and that presence, look at them, listen to them, and be there with them. You don't have to offer advice. You don't have to coerce. You don't have to cajole, nothing. You're just there. You look at them. You're present with them. You listen to them. It's a wonderful gift that you can offer somebody. The second thing is be grateful. Humans are annoying. I know, very annoying. And everybody's going to annoy you at some point. Be grateful for everything that that person has brought into your life and does bring into your life. And just think what your life would be like without them. And get into a headspace when you're with them, or perhaps right before you're with them, just reminding yourself how very lucky you are to have that person in your life. Because when you're talking to somebody from a position of gratitude, they'll feel that and it's going to feel good to them. And the third thing is be intentful. Don't treat people like things. Don't just assume that they're always going to be there. Don't treat people like commodities. If you commodify people, the tendency is going to be to reciprocate and they'll commodify you and it won't feel good. So be intentful. What is your intent with this person? How can you make sure that you're both having a good time with each other? What can you do to really convey to them how much you appreciate them and how grateful you are for them? And what can you be doing with each other that's really going to build depth into the relationship and cause it to grow? Any relationship, any enterprise must have a goal. It needs to have an intent. You've got to be moving somewhere. Otherwise, it will stagnate. And it will quite naturally start to dissolve. There must be a group intent. There needs to be a unified intent that you are all working towards. I don't know how many people you're talking about. And it can be just, we have fun together. We surf together. We do whatever together. We drink together, right? It can be that. But if you're going to do that, put your thought to it and be intentful. All of the three things that I've just suggested to you make you more conscious in your relationships, make you or permit you, I should say, to offer an element of present moment awareness, high quality consciousness to your relationships. And you will find, ladies and gents, that that which you put your consciousness into, that which you put your love and your attention into, tends to flourish. It tends to grow. But it does take that little bit of effort. It does take that little bit of time. One of the major problems that we have in the world that we live in today is that we don't have much time for each other because people are so busy. They're so, you know, everybody's trying to compete. Everybody's on that hamster wheel. They're trying to move forward, right? When we do have time, it's a real gift. It allows us to become more conscious, to become more aware, to become more grateful for what we do already have and for the people we do already have in our lives. Bringing your conscious awareness means that that person doesn't slip into your unconscious. It's rare that good things happen when we do things unconsciously. Usually the things that we do unconsciously hurt us further down the line. So being conscious is a good thing. It's easy for somebody to slip into the unconscious. The more intimate you become with somebody, the more their ego mask, their conscious awareness will go down. And the more vulnerable they become with you, the more access you'll get to the unconscious realm. The same with you. The more vulnerable and the more intimate you become with your partner, the less boundaries there will be and the more they're getting access to your unconscious realm. That can be quite frightening and it can be quite difficult both for you and for your partner. So be very careful with that. It's natural. It's normal. You're gonna be exposed to the sides of that person that they've not like unprocessed trauma, old patterns, some predatory behaviors is perfectly natural, it's perfectly normal. It doesn't mean that they have a personality disorder. It means that they're a human being. There are other ways of testing for and checking for the red flags of personality disorders that I don't need to discuss here because it's very well covered. So if you want to improve anything in your life, bring conscious awareness to it, and that will tend to make it better. If it is particularly in a romantic context, I do work with people who, or I have done a lot of working with people. I never really consider myself like a relationship coach type of a person, but actually I do deal with a lot of relationship issues, because when people have experienced narcissistic abuse and they're on the other side of it and they're coming out of it, frequently we're talking about relationships. Could be with an intimate partner, could be with a family member or a boss, but it tends to be relationships. Relationships actually start to deteriorate very, very, very rapidly when they're not tended to. Relationships with anybody. If you just assume everything's going to be okay and you're just going to trundle along, that's where there can be some really, really big problems. Remember that our unresolved trauma really flourishes in an environment where there is a lack of conscious awareness. Don't get freaked out by this term conscious awareness or presence or whatever. It's not, all it means is not being not conscious. You know, it's not some higher level thing. Anybody can do it. As soon as you start thinking about it, you become conscious of it. It's that fast. So as soon as you go, oh, okay, I'm going to put some effort into this, I'm going to apply some conscious awareness to this, in that moment, you made things better. If you want the woo description of it, it would be that in that moment that you invited conscious awareness in, you actually start to clean up the karma of that relationship. Don't get turned off by ancient Sanskrit words. I think that what the scholars of that day were pointing to is the same thing as today. They just use different language, different metaphors, and a different model of reality to deal with it. But actually, karma is a good one. When you think in terms of relationships and you think cause and effect, and you start applying karma to intergenerational trauma, cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect, which is all karma is. Karma just means cause and effect. Things happen, and there's a consequence of things happening, there's something else. In some schools, it will mean like, oh, if you're naughty, then like you'll be punished for your naughtiness. But for pure Buddhism, karma is just cause and effect. It's a very interesting way of looking at life, because if you think when you begin a project, when you begin a relationship, when you set an intention for something, if the seed of that intent has some poison in it, then usually the plant that grows off the back of it is poisonous. It might be good for a while. It might make you a lot of money. It might make you famous. You may enjoy a certain degree of success. You may get with the person that you thought you wanted to be with. And then at some point, you'll be asking yourself the question that all successful people throughout the history of humanity have asked is, if I'm so successful, why does this suck? Because it sucks. Why? Because the intent in the beginning had some shade in there, had some darkness in there, had some impurity in there that it shouldn't have had. Yes, even if you are authentically the victim of narcissistic abuse, you do need to look at where that little piece of darkness crept in the beginning. Where did you accept a temptation that you could have refused? Where did you find yourself doing a Faustian sort of contract with the devil? Who would have told you at some point, this will hurt you later? There is this recurrent theme in the old mystical schools, and particularly in Buddhism with karma, of sowing seeds and then you reap what you sow. That's Christianity. It will come around in time. So all of this takes place across time. If you put conscious awareness in the beginning, over time, the plants that grow, the flowers that grow, will be healthy and they'll be good, not just for you, but for everybody around you. And you'll notice when things are not good for the highest good of everybody who's involved, it sucks. If they're only good for you, it sucks. That's just the way things work. I believe that's one of the rules of the reality that we're in. And it's part of human psychology. You are not an individual. You are hardwired to be a contributing member of a pack, a member of a team, a member of a tribe. That's what we're evolved to. So you'll always know if you're benefiting whilst the person you're with or the people you're with are suffering, you'll feel bad. You're not going to feel good about it. So presence, intent, and gratitude. Bring your presence to everything that you do. Conscious awareness. Bring space. Slow your thoughts down. Be present. Practice your meditation. The meditation of simply being there, of simply showing up for yourself and showing up for other people. Not dissociating, not drifting off. I'm here. It's okay to be here now. Offer your time, your attention to a person. Look at them. Listen to them. Hear them. See them. Really see them. And you're offering them a great gift. Be grateful for them and set an intent in everything that you do. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your time and for your attention. Please be grateful for everything that you have. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Cheers.